Hey, this is Dan Hansis alongside Chris Wessling.
Hey, Dan.
Mark Sessler and the boss, Greg Rosenthal. We're the Around the NFL podcast. Check us out three times a week as we discuss the latest NFL news as it happens. Always, of course, with a touch of mirth. Subscribe at NFL.com/podcasts, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Hi, and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all-day breakfast. Put it in your belly, morning, noon, or night. It's always a good choice to eat an Egg McMuffin and a hash brown that comes in its own paper sleeping bag. I am alone here in 66 behind the glass there. All the gang, Black Tie, Bartlett, Kent Brown, Sully, all the rest. I didn't ask you to cut away. No one needs to see any of you, believe me. Although Kent Brown is wearing a nice T-shirt today. Let's see that for everybody who's watching on video here. And if you're listening, we appreciate that. We appreciate the download, the subscription on Stitcher, iTunes, and beyond. On video, you can watch us YouTube, and also you can find the video links at NFL.com/podcasts. Like I say, consume it in audio, video, or do both. You know, that's probably the best way to do it. Because then, like, you go back a second time, and that's it's one of those things. It's like watching Game of Thrones. You learn something new every time you absorb a DDFP. Now, we have a few treats for you here coming up, and we'll start it off. I mean, when better? It's always a good time to talk about food with offensive linemen. If you heard the Jeff Schwartz and Ross Tucker debate about gravy versus icing a couple weeks ago, good for you, because it was gangbuster stuff. If you missed it, go back and find it on YouTube. I think you'll be pleased that you did. And, you know, it really launched, I didn't realize it at the time, but it has really launched an entire segment of talking about food with NFL offensive linemen. Today's subject, a good one, an important one, best potato preparation. In fact, it's so important, it's one of the Shecky Awards at the end of every year. And best potato prep, so many good options there. So we sat down with two guys who know their way around a food plate, Sean O'Hara of the New York Giants and Cleveland Browns, and the great Brian Baldinger of many NFL teams. Here we go. Let's figure it out, the three of us. Best potato prep.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans and fans of one of the most important things in all the world, food. And once again, we are joined by fellas whose profession really indicates that they care about food. NFL offensive lineman Brian Baldinger, Sean O'Hara. What's the poop, fella? Yeah, dig in. Don't
just
wait.
So that everybody knows that these are not fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's very.
And even if they're a couple days or weeks old, doesn't matter.
You can eat your tots. I'll take care of those for you.
All right, listen, we have a pretty good range of potatoes here. Mm-hmm. The subject, of course, what is the best potato preparation here? We like to get offensive linemen to debate the big issues when it comes to food, and I don't think there are many issues more important than what is the best kind of potato.
Well,
I start with you,
Baldy. Well, here's the thing, Shaq, is, like, I'm looking at this, and who doesn't like hash browns? Like, I want hash browns, and I want runny eggs,
This is a breakfast portion right here.
Yeah. You don't order hash browns at lunch or at dinner, but that's breakfast that's on the menu.
I agree with that, but, you know, you touch on something.
Some people
O'Hara
would actually call those, like, home fried, like hash, you know, like that. That can be kind of.
Well, then you can get
that,
the diced potatoes with the little peppers in them.
So
too,
I love
the
potatoes. You can really argue potatoes are great for every meal. Well, you've got breakfast, you've got lunch, and you've got dinner. So you basically got your three squares.
You know,
see, the cool thing now and the trend, and my wife has really been on me about this is. These guys right here.
Oh,
these are not just potatoes. These are the sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
This is like a whole new Pandora's box because they're healthy. Sweet potatoes are healthy for you. So when you eat sweet potato fries, you're actually doing your body a service.
Do I feel like I just have like a new glow just putting that one in my mouth?
It's clear, Baldy.
Yeah.
You look like a new man.
Huh?
But to be comprehensive, I want to make sure before we really get into a ranking and figuring out which one's the best,
Do we have all the potatoes here, all the different potato preps here? No is the answer. No. Yeah. We lack Lyonnaise.
And au gratin potatoes.
Au gratin are the cheesy kind of flat ones.
Yeah, with a little sauce.
Orangey cheese. I guess cheddar probably. And then the Lyonnaise have the onions all through them. And those are delicious as well. But I think we have everything else save the twice-baked potato. And that's an important subject as far as I'm concerned, a subsection. I find people who order the twice-baked potato, I think we should just change the name of it to the prima donna style. Who needs a, once baked isn't good enough for you? You have to get yours twice baked? Who do you think you are?
Well, does the flavor change a great deal, the twice baked?
I mean, that's really the question. Not to me. It just seems like you're asking a lot of people, like, for making the effort of baking that. Do it again.
You know what, though? But I'm a fan of the twice-baked potato.
Because?
Here's why. Because it got twice the attention. All right. So now that baked
potato, the amount of love.
When you eat that, it got twice the love, twice the attention. So it tastes twice as good. Now, as an offensive lineman, we're used to working twice as hard. So I appreciate the amount of love and energy and time that it took to dedicate that potato.
So once it's twice baked, though, Sean, and you cut it open, is there anything that you don't put on the potato?
Well,
it's got to be loaded.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because when you load it up now, I mean, we've got butter, we've got sour cream. We've got bacon, all right? What else are we putting
in? You got to have cheese.
Chives?
Shredded cheese. You got to have a little cheese.
Okay.
You know what it is? O'Hare is one of these new generation people who needs it all done for him. Mm. That, like Baldy says, old school, you slice it open. Yeah. You put your own stuff on there.
I'm just scooping.
What's the world owe you? They have to do all the prep for you? You can't smush the potato up?
No, he tips well.
I refuse to discriminate when it comes to eating potatoes. I will eat all of those. And in any particular order, and I will eat them, Sam I am. Yes, I will.
Well, let's decide here and now. Do you like a twice-baked potato, or do you go once-baked?
Well, not everybody serves a twice-baked potato.
Well, so you only get the choice
based on what's on the menu. If there's a twice-baked potato on there, I'm taking the twice-baked potato. Hmm. But if they don't have it, I'll take the loaded baked potato, and I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to eat that.
I'm not that arrogant that I would ever order the twice-baked.
And I'm not one of those artificial potato lovers where I'm going to just eat the inside and not the skin. I'm cutting that whole thing down, and I like it.
I've always thought that the French fry, the key to a great French fry, is you don't have to dip it into a condiment. You can just enjoy the flavor. You know, McDonald's always had great fries. I never put ketchup on my McDonald's French fries.
No.
They remain the gold standard.
That was the standard, right? Like, you got those fries. You got the large bag of fries. You never, were dipping ketchup in there. Now, there's a lot of fries that need ketchup.
What do we think about
Are you a single French fry at a time guy, or do you like to kind of bunch three or four together?
Those are very good fries. I'll say this, Sean.
Get them matches. Like a stick of matches, you know, you get a group of them in there, and then you just kind of chomp on them.
Well, sometimes I can't, the shovel is just working, and you're just trying to get in there as quickly as you can. I understand that. But a French fry that needs ketchup, I like to dip. I like to dip the fry. That's why you get those little white cups of ketchup.
One dip, though. You can't double
just
dip.
Just a dip.
No. You know what? That's where I spoil myself.
Yeah,
I get five or six of those little white cups of ketchup.
That's how you do
and
it.
I like
three at a time.
Each one. I may only dip in that ketchup one time because there's nothing better than a full pool right there, and you just it's unsullied. You know, you christen it, you baptize it with that fry.
Well, did you throw a Game of Thrones reference on there? Calling
something
it unsullied.
Like that, yes.
I like that. Well played.
You know, we had this hamburger joint. My town I grew up in, Massapequa, New York. We had an all-American hamburger joint, and they had the best fries. But they were a fry that you needed to dip. And it had the little white cups, and you filled the ketchup up. And people that go through that town, they stop. There's a line out that door all day long, every day.
Well, let's talk about, now that we're into the subject fully here, of French fries, what's the best cut? You can get the very skinny shoestring.
You can get
this style, which is about the,
That's medium.
That's the middle.
Medium, yeah.
And then you can get those fat,
steak fries.
Flat steak fries. Where do we come down?
Mm. It depends on what I'm eating. If I'm eating a steak, I'll take the steak fries. Because I'm eating it with a fork, and I can, I can handle.
Oh, there
that.
We go.
Got the.
But I like the potato. You've got to be able to taste it. It can't just be all the breading and the fried. So the medium to the thick cut, I love.
But if you have the all American great burger, just a cheeseburger that's just dripping,
I want my double burger.
What are you dipping fries with that? With that burger like that?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take some of those fries. I'm going to put them on the burger.
Good for you. Baldy and I are from Pittsburgh. You're not from Pittsburgh, but that's Pittsburgh style.
Yeah,
fries on the sandwich.
Primanti style.
Primanti's right there.
Primanti. So I love that. And at Rutgers, we used to have these fat swingers. That we used to call them, they were fat cats, but I used to call it the fat swinger. And it was two cheeseburgers on a roll, and you put bacon, egg, loaded, mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers, and French fries, and then put hot sauce all over all of that.
Yeah.
And you just roll that up, and you just, you know, you take that right to the grill.
You lost me a chicken finger. That's going, that's, now yeah, you're talking like
the Samoa
but
sandwiches.
When you take a bite, when you actually get into that chicken finger, and it's like, oh, that's something different in there. It's kind of a nice little bonus.
Right, but I'm against the Samoa cookie when it comes to Girl Scout cookie debates, and that may be an upcoming debate that we'll have to have. But
keep me on the list.
The Samoa cookie, to me, of course it tastes good because it's got everything in it. It cheats. If you just throw everything, I mean, that's what your sandwich, you're throwing all in it.
And you're helping out the Girl Scouts.
That's
so
also
it's a win-win.
Also true.
What are we doing with the mashed potatoes?
Well, we'll get to those, but one more fry.
Girl Scouts should sell French fries. Mm. That would be great.
All right, fellas, let's get to it then. Rank them for me here. Let's play it this way. You can only have one potato preparation for the rest of your life, to the exclusion of all others.
Wow.
Which is it going to be? Baldy, I start with you.
I'm going with the Papa Fritas. I'm going French fries. Because they're so... You can do anything you want with them. You could put them on sandwiches the way Sean preferred over there at Rutgers when he was getting that great education. Or you could eat them with every single sandwich that there is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a sandwich that fries don't go with.
You ever go to France and have moulet frites?
Yeah.
You put them in the sauce with your mussels. You take them out. You can't do that with a mashed potato, O'Hara. How say you?
Oui, oui. My mom has a phenomenal recipe. She calls it Louisville potatoes. And she takes the potatoes and she chops them all up. And it's almost like a kind of a different mashed potato. It's not mashed with lumpy. I mean, it's really smooth and creamy. It's phenomenal. And I love that. And on special occasions and holidays, she'll make that. My wife actually now makes
her own version. Mom.
It's phenomenal, and I love that. But
he's about to.
When I'm looking at, you're saying for the rest of
eternity
of your life.
This is it, man.
We're
you
talking
don't get
about
to have any other.
I'm going to go with the sweet potato fries.
Oh, that's you. I don't think you believe that in your soul.
Well, here's why I'm saying.
This is the svelte Sean O'Hara, though.
Like, based on what I said before.
He's tucking his shirt into his.
If those really are healthy for you, that means I'm going to live longer. That means I get to eat
How
fries
How healthy
longer.
Can they be? They're still fried.
I get to eat fries longer because I'm choosing sweet potato fries.
But, like, are you thinking about health when you're eating fries?
If I didn't know. But that's why it's, you know, it goes along with his hyperbole, which is if you could only choose one for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, okay, under that context, I'm going with that because
you'd be sick of those inside of a month. You could
eat
those.
No, you'd be craving this.
If you for the next month, if you had to choose one, I'm going with these tots right here.
All right, you've both made compelling arguments. The fix was in because I agreed with Baldy before he even started. I mean, if you have to choose only one, the French fries.
You're going fries.
You're going Highlander on us, huh? There can be only one.
Well, that's the only way you can play. Because that's when you find out really where your heart lies, is when I tell you you can only have the one for the rest of your life. Brian Baldinger, Sean O'Hara. Insightful stuff.
You're listening to David Damashek.
Well, I felt at the time that we had covered all the bases, but as soon as I walked out of the studio, I realized, wait a second, we failed to talk about potato chips. So I guess we have to do the whole thing all over again. And by the way, as we continued further down the hallway, Sean O'Hara said, oh, I should have told my story about how Eli Manning always required me to bring him some French fries on Saturday night before a game. It was one of our rituals. And then my first season in retirement, Eli called me on Saturday night to ask where my French fries are, and that was very funny, and I thanked O'Hara for bringing that up after we had completed 15 minutes of taping on that. So anyway, maybe we have to do the whole thing again, but in the meantime, oh, and let me tell you, we have AJ Hawk, another of our favorites, coming up in just a second, another walk and talk with Hawk, and Dear Ikey with another of our favorites. Ike Taylor weighing in, not on the game of football, but the game of life, responding to a question from the great Nate Burleson, so stick around. But real quick, fellas behind the glass, black tie on down, what do we think about, did we get it right, French fries? I mean, we can overthink it, but this is one of those subjects that I think your classic shoestring fry is going to be your best potato prep. Here comes a weird answer from black tie. I don't know if you can do weirder than O'Hara saying a plantain, but all right. I mean, not plantain. He said sweet potato fry.
I'm
but
more
a plantain's very good.
I'm more of a gnocchi guy.
I mean, you know what? Did I say it was going to be a weird answer?
I'm just saying.
So if you could only have one potato preparation for the rest of your life, black tie, gnocchi. That's it.
I recently fell
in love with French fries, no mashed potatoes, no tater tots.
Tater tots definitely not too deep fried. That's just that's not gonna work.
Okay.
French fries could work.
What about a baked potato? Nope. Black tie's eating his gnocchi. Ciao, Italia, black tie. That's it, right?
That's to where I go. I don't know about the rest of the crew behind here, but I'll go gnocchi.
All right. Does that all the reasonable people behind the glass show of hands there? Did we get it right with French fries?
They all agree.
Everybody agrees. Good. So
I'm more of a two burgers over burger and a French fries kind of guy.
Is that what kind of guy you are?
Yeah.
Fascinating insight into black tie. All right, now let's get to AJ Hawk, and we enjoy taking a walk and talk around Football America. And if you haven't watched it again, you can listen to it. There's great insight about the game of football and some of his experiences playing it. The great Ohio State, Green Bay Packer, and Cincinnati Bengal addresses some of the bigger games that he was a part of. But, of course, you can watch us walk and talk, and we traverse Football America, not unlike Tom Hanks in, what's it called, Forrest Gump, when he goes on his run, except that we don't run, we walk. And, in fact, we aren't actually out in the great outdoors. We're against green screen. Spoiler alert. But, anyway, here it is. Damashek goes on a walk and talk with Hawk. We are here in Cincinnati outside of Paul Brown Stadium. Let's revisit January 2016 and your recollections of the weirdest game I've ever seen, and that's not hyperbole. The Bengals, the Steelers, coaches on the field, players in capes on the field, guys knocking each other out, weird fumbles, and the best of all, Vontaze Burfict running off the field doing this with 90 seconds left, and you guys still lose the game.
It was a big interception, man. He was excited. What a weird day it was. I'm sure you were sitting at home eating your Permanente Brothers, whatever you guys call it, and drinking, was it Steel Reserve? You don't have Steel Reserve, is it?
Iron City Beer,
Iron City. Oh, I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. And, yeah, just being tough like you always are. And you're probably so excited once we lost in Cincy, I know. But I've never been a part of a game like that. I don't think many people have.
Weirdest game you've ever been in?
Most likely, yes. And I played in the Fail Mary game in Seattle. I played in and lost the NFC Championship game at the end. Whew, on an onside kick, all kind of situations. So that was probably the weirdest.
Oh, look at that. Here we are. We're outside the clink now. Here we go. Let's visit that one. The Fail Mary was a weird one, too. Were you on the field for it?
I was not on the field for that exact play. I watched just like you on the sideline.
What was the buzz? What was happening on the sideline?
Absolute disbelief. And then after it, what people don't know, so everyone took off, got off the field. We went to the locker room. Those are the replacement refs, if you remember.
Of course I do.
While I'm fake walking. And they came into the locker room and told us, we had guys shoulder pads off, guys freaking out, throwing stuff, lockers being kicked. And they said, hey, legally, like, to end the game, they have to kick the extra point. And I thought this ref was going to get killed before he got out of the locker room. And Mike McCarthy, being calm guy he is, he's like, we got to get 11 guys out there. So we had 11 guys. I don't think I went out. Maybe I did go out there and had to stand there for the extra point. It was terrible. And then guess what?
All right.
2 days later, the real refs came back.
And that really affected playoff seeding, didn't
it? Yes, it did. I think, yeah, it finally came back. But, I mean, I don't put that on whatever.
Now, this clink, this is the house of horrors for any Packer or Packer fan, right? I mean, you guys, the Fail Mary, then you get house pretty good the following season or after they win the Super Bowl. And then what I consider the most heartbreaking game, not to be confused with the weirdest game I've ever seen, but the most heartbreaking game. If any one of eight things doesn't happen in the second half, the Packers go to the Super Bowl. How much does that stick in the craw?
I mean, it does. It's something you're never going to forget. But after that game, I was definitely almost like I was in shock a little bit. I think everybody kind of was. Everything happened so quickly. And then when you look back on it, if one thing out of that whole sequence doesn't happen, we're going to win the game.
Dave Damashek.
Ah, Hawk. I miss him already. What a great fellow. Waiting to see what happens with him, too, in the offseason. He suggests that he might hold out and wait to see come training camp when injuries start piling up and teams identify that they're in need of a linebacker. Hawk's name might be called there. I'd rather him be sitting here in Studio 66 with us. We'll see how all that shakes out in 2016. In the meantime, I had a dream that another football player whose work I really enjoyed would one day join us in Studio 66. Those dreams have come to fruition. And how, as much hope as I had for Ike Taylor, he has exceeded it tenfold. Now it's time, because he's a great football talker. But like I said earlier, he's even better talking about the game of life. Here he is addressing another question on Dear Ikey. Hi and hello, football fans. That's Ike Taylor. I'm Dave Damashek. And yes, Ike, you're a football player, but today we're not going to talk about football. Nay, we're going to talk about the game of life. Are you all set here?
Let's go.
Dear Ikey, answering the relationship questions, the life questions of our colleagues and NFL players out there. Today, let's address one from our pal, Nate Burleson.
Dear Ikey, it's your boy Nate Burleson. I got a question. So you know how we get that itch to buy a car every now and then? I got that itch. I want the new G63, the Mercedes joint, you know, the boxy one. Question is, do I lease or do I just go pay cash?
Ike Taylor, how say you?
I don't be having the itch because I shower all the time. So I don't really be itching. But I do like a car. I'm a car guy.
Oh, okay. I thought you maybe misunderstood.
No, all my cars are disposable. But for Nate's situation, I would like Nate to lease. Because I feel like his itch comes often. So he's going to get tired of the G-Wagon. And he gonna want something new or upgrade. So for Nate, I know he got the cash, but go on lease. You ain't gonna drive it a lot. You travel back and forth to work. I would say, Nate, lease that thing out, bro.
Fiscally responsible. Now, didn't you once after a Super Bowl go immediately out and buy a Maserati?
Got a Maserati.
Yeah.
In Tampa.
And?
So me and my little
You didn't
man,
even wait to get home. You just bought it in the city.
So we stayed that night. After we won the Super Bowl, stayed in Tampa that night. Told my lady, I forgot what my lady did. I forgot what Danielle did. Anyway, Ivan and my mama, we drove straight to the dealership. Straight to the dealership. The car drove in. I said, y'all keep it. I don't even want it. Give me that Maserati. / Maserati.
Why no M?
Because, you know, we talk different down
Maserati.
There. Maserati.
Yeah, and where's that car now?
I gave it right back about a couple of months later because it was too slow and bought me a Rari / Ferrari.
Well done, Ike Taylor. There it is, another edition of Dear Ikey. Thank you, Ike.
You're welcome, Dave.
Dave, da 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 don don't, Dave.
2-4 in full effect there. Great stuff from Nate Burleson as well. Ike will be back with us. I think he's on a European tour as we speak, but as the season draws nigh, and it's going to be here before we all realize. Ike will, of course, be back here in DDFP in Studio 66 on a regular basis, along with Maurice and Handsome Hank and everybody else. Behind the glass, though, where do we come down on Ike's thing? I lease because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. Well, I know that's true. People have advised me who know me. They say, Dave, you're a wreck of a human being, and you don't provide proper care to your automobile. Therefore, you don't want to own that thing. You want to get rid of, you drive a nice, relatively new car, and then after 3 years, boop, reboot, start fresh. You know, I think that's the way to do it for somebody who isn't really, who doesn't comport himself like an adult.
Well, I can't really speak for, you know, NFL players or yourself who has your show presented by McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Shout out to McDonald's. Yeah. But for the everyday man, you can lease. And Ryan Bartlett here says he's a guy, he buys. And the thing with leasing is, if you're the type of person that wants a new phone every year, every 2 years when a new iPhone comes out, how are you going to stick with a car for like more than 2-3 years? I'm a leasing kind of guy. Mm-hmm. The number one way to do it is don't drive too much. If you don't do a lot of driving, a lot of commuting from work and whatnot, you can stay under that 10,000 mileage or whatever the lowest mileage per year is, and you can lease fairly easily, man. And you change your cars to keep it fresh, keep it new.
That's what they say. They say if it drives, flies, floats, or produces, rotate it every couple of years. Speaking of which, Black Tie, you're fired. Goodbye. No, I kid. I don't understand. It seems to me, and by the way, I don't know anything about such things, but I feel like – that you pay a little bit less if you lease it for a better car. Like, you can get a better car if you're leasing it. So what? What's the downside then? That you don't have it as property to resell. You don't make money back off of it.
Well, so I'm on a traditional car buyer. So that's what I've done. I'm the type, I like to buy a car, keep it as long as I can, run it to the ground, and then try to make some money off it.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, because if I did that, I would in fact run it into the ground, and then it would just fall apart at some point, and then it wouldn't have any resale value.
Well, as Black Tie said, leasing's great if you don't drive. So I mean, what's the point of having this fancy car if you can't drive it?
I need a motorcycle. I think that's going to be a good idea for me in 2017. I need a chopper.
Or a moped.
I don't think you can get one of those sidecar things on it, though, for a moped. Do they make a sidecar?
You could give Evan Seinfeld a ride in your sidecar.
It's not a bad call. That'd be a fun thing. We'd solve all our issues that way, wouldn't we? All right, listen. It's been a lot of fun visiting with Ike and Nate and Hawk and Baldy and Jeff Schwartz. I call him Jeff Schwartz. Sean O'Hara. Yeah, the same thing. They're the same. They're basically Irish, Jewish. What's the difference?
Yeah, they all look the same.
Now that I don't know about. No, but they are both bearded fellows. You're right about that. So, all right. Anyway, listen. Forget the xenophobia, the outrageous talk from Bartlett there, and Black Tie's cockamamie gnocchi talk. Otherwise, a great show. We'll be back with much more Huey and Applesauce for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. And thanks to McDonald's. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Watch his bucket. Bang!